The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Web Studio, Primetime Advertising Corporation, and the Law Office of Thomas Pinkerton. The views and opinions are solely those of the host and guests and do not necessarily represent KCBQ or its sponsors. It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
So, you'd like to believe in God, but it's hard when Christians give such lame arguments for the existence of God. Well, that's true. Often the arguments for God are less than stellar.
Is there a God? If not, what are all these churches for? And who is Jesus's dad?
But believe it or not, there is good evidence for the existence of God. Evidence even better than Steve Carell's evidence in The Office. How about the experience of personal observation? How about the encounters people have had with angels? I had an encounter with angels myself once. It was an absolutely incredible story, and I will tell you about it later on in the program. First, the latest news. A lot of news to catch up on. Last week, I did an all-theology show, even though the news had been riveting. So where do I begin? There's that disgusting United Nations meeting. There's the withdrawal of our missile shield from Poland. The fact that Iran might have a nuclear bomb within months. People like Jimmy Carter and Nancy Pelosi continuing to say stupid things. It's like a smorgasbord to choose from. All right, well, how about if we go back to Nancy's little statement from over a week ago? You remember, a tearful Nancy Pelosi is challenging people on the right to tone down their rhetoric. If not, the fierce objections to President Obama might lead to some kind of violence. Even though Ms. Pelosi accepts free speech, all who oppose the president with strong words will need to take responsibility if some nut job does something stupid and physical, which means, of course, that she does not accept free speech. The halo-laced rebuke comes from the woman who called the CIA liars and who labeled the town hall demonstrators Nazis. Oh, yes. This delightful lady certainly wrote the book on civil discourse. I guess that's why she feels so free to lecture the rest of us. Let's be clear. Our Speaker of the House only accepts free speech if it is speech she agrees with and is only concerned with the tone of words when they are words that challenge her unsupportable positions. The very idea that our country was once led by people such as Thomas Jefferson and John Adams and George Washington and is now piloted by the likes of this shameless, disgraceful excuse for a congresswoman ought to bring about a moment of pause and reflection. Just what on earth has happened to America? Oh, and the responsible way Democrats use the word racism these days. What the Democrats said would happen if Obama was elected. The election of the first African-American president will put race behind us once and for all and move us into a post-racial America. What the Democrats really planned to do, we will elect a man invulnerable to criticism. If anyone challenges the president about anything, we will simply call them racist. And have you heard the latest on this? White people, and only white people, mind you, are born with a gene that compels them to be racists. This is from a study published in Newsweek. You're not entirely surprised to hear this, right? In today's political climate, it was only a matter of time. It's not unlike the claim that homosexuals are born that way because of genetics. Interesting. So since homosexuals cannot be held responsible for the way they were born, are the politically correct now going to claim that white people can never be held responsible for their own racism? The next time somebody tells you that those who oppose Obama are doing so only because he's an African-American president, ask them the following questions. Question one, how do you explain the African-Americans who did not vote for Obama? Question two, how do you explain the African-Americans who did vote for Obama but now claim they made a mistake and regret their decision? Question three, are blacks who oppose Obama also racist? Question four, if not, will you concede that they object to our president based on the issues alone? Question five, if black people can make decisions based on issues alone, why can't white people? And question six, while we're on the subject, how do you explain the many white people who voted for Obama but are now changing their minds about him? I should give you this warning. Your friend may respond by saying, oh, you're just such a racist. Such a racist? You don't even see your own racism. But Bob Obama himself has renounced the charge of racism for his opponents, has he? Has he really? Ever hear of good cop, bad cop? Most of you have. You've seen the good cop, bad cop routine on television and in the movies. Two police detectives are interrogating a suspect. One of them slaps him around. Either you talk right now, or I swear I'm going to cut off your freaking head. At this point, the nicer cop pulls back his partner. Hey, don't do that to the poor guy. You'll hurt him. And then he speaks more softly to the pathetic, frightened weasel sitting in the chair. I wish to apologize for my friend. He has kind of a temper, but to tell you the truth, I'm not really sure how much longer I can hold him off. Maybe you'd better just tell him what he wants to know. Good cop, bad cop. It's very effective. A roller coaster of contrasting emotions designed to eventually break down all will and resistance. Lately, President Obama has been playing the role of the good cop, while his surrogates and supporters play the role of bad cop. When asked in a recent television interview if those who oppose his policies are doing so only because of racism, Obama replied, no. Well, good for you, Obama. Now, if you really mean it, call off your watchdogs. How hard can it be for him to speak to Janet Watson or Jimmy Carter or Bill Clinton and ask them to withdraw their incredibly stupid race-baiting statements? And if they do not honor his request, could he not hold another of his million press conferences and publicly denounce these propagandists? It's not as if the man doesn't like to hear himself talk. Why didn't we not hear him speak about a matter that is ripping our country apart, especially since he campaigned as the man who would put race behind us once and for all? Well, I can think of only one reason. He enjoys having others do his dirty work while he acts like the nice guy. It's just another form of good cop, bad cop, or perhaps you know it by a different name. Chicago politics. On to other news. Obama's appointed energy secretary, Stephen Chu, suggests that we paint all rooftops in America white. Yes, you heard me correctly. The idea seems to be that the color white reflects light back into space, and thus we will make major strides in the heroic, unending battle against global warming. White, eh? Sounds kind of racist to me. Speaking of sounds, can there be a more beautiful sound than the voices of children raised in song? Then get a load of this delightful innocence from a New Jersey public elementary school. As usual, we are hearing about how conservatives are making much ado about nothing. So what if some innocent children at an elementary school learned a song about Obama? Shouldn't kids learn to respect the president? If this matter is causing you any troubling or confusing thoughts, I'd be happy to clarify things. Respect for the president is one thing. Indoctrination is something else altogether. The cute kiddies were not merely singing about our president. They were singing about our president's policies. Equal work, equal pay. Many of their parents did not vote for this man. Should their tax dollars, which fund a public school, be spent on their own children singing about issues they disagree with? But it went beyond lyrics about equal work for equal pay. The song Jesus Loves Little Children was changed to an enchanting little ditty called Obama Loves the Little Children. Interesting. The name Jesus is not even allowed in our public schools, but if we want to replace his name with Obama, all is well. Can you just imagine if this had been a song about George Bush 4 or 5 years ago? Let's just use our imaginations. The same school, the same kids, but instead we're hearing, George W. Bush, he sent a bomb from you and me to help Iraqis all get free. George W. Bush, he keeps the Congress off our backs with higher pay and lower tax. George W. Bush. Now, don't tell me the left wouldn't be outraged. The ACLU would be on the school ground so fast it would make your head spin. The nuttier our times become, the more brilliant writers from the past start to sound. The noted Christian apologist G.K. Chesterton once said, "When a person stops believing in God, he'll start believing in anything." Of course, Chesterton was referring to the God of the Bible, not some notion that rocks and trees are also God. He meant the creator of the universe, the real God, the one who gave us a conscience, the one who holds us accountable for the way we live. Yes, I believe in God. To those who find that idea absurd, to those who do not agree that personality finds origin in personality, and instead believe personality comes from nothingness and randomness, to those who think the word intelligent is reserved only for those who do not accept a deity, let me offer a list of things I do not believe. I do not believe animals have a right to sue people. I do not believe the life of a tree is as important as the life of a human. I do not believe that those who want to protect the rights of human babies are fascist. I do not believe that those refusing to vote for a candidate who embraced infanticide did so only because they were racist. I do not believe that those who cut off people's heads can be compared to freedom fighters like George Washington. I do not believe that government has the right to steal money from one person and give it to another. I do not believe the debate about global warming should be forbidden when there are so many scientists who offer data contrary to that and when it has been proven that the world is actually cooling. I do not believe a person is filled with hate simply because he wants to have borders on his own country. I do not believe a person is filled with hate simply because he believes marriage should be between a man and a woman. I do not believe voluntary prayer in the public school is going to turn our country into a Gestapo-led dictatorship. No, I do not accept any of those ideas, but many do because, if I might be permitted to say it once more, when a man stops believing in God, he'll start believing in anything. Speaking of believing whoppers, how about the latest mythology coming from the mouth of Jimmy Carter? You know, he was the worst president we ever had. I know some of you want to take issue with me. Some of you want to say Obama is the worst, and I'm sympathetic, but let's wait until Obama's presidency is over. Who knows? Maybe he'll change. He believes in change. Maybe he'll change. Meanwhile, Jimmy Carter was the worst president we ever had. A bungling, inept, incompetent statesman whose naive, stupid policies gave a green light to Middle East terrorism as we know it. He was even worse as an ex-president, filled with anti-Semitic vile that masqueraded as peace rhetoric in a vain attempt to reclaim his place in history. And for these latter efforts, he was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. But it had to happen sooner or later. Finally, former President Jimmy Carter receives an appropriate accolade. Osama bin Laden himself recommends Carter's latest book on the Israelis and Palestinians as important and truthful reading. While we are on the subject of foreign policy, I mentioned this before, but I'll say it again because, well, I guess I just like saying it. The United Nations should be dismantled and the UN building in New York City should be turned into a public toilet. That way the building can perform a legitimate service. This week, the Holocaust denier Iranian President Ahmadinejad spoke at the UN along with Libyan President Gaddafi. Instead of just slapping handcuffs on these murderous terrorist snakes, we sit and let them lecture the world. Kudos to Benjamin Netanyahu for looking the UN in the eye and saying, "Have you no shame? Have you no decency?" Obama also spoke, because Obama always speaks. He did not have very harsh words for nations that are truly dangerous, but he did scold Israel again for her occupation of Palestine, catering to the conventional sentiment that the Muslim world hates America only because of Israel, and not because they follow a Quran which commands them to kill those who will not submit to Islam. But Obama just plows ahead, asking Israel to have talks with the Palestinians without any preconditions. You know, in a legitimate peace treaty, both sides are supposed to get something out of it. Nothing, and I mean absolutely nothing, is ever offered to Israel. Instead, it's, you give up land, and we'll promise to stop killing your people with suicide bombers. Sound fair? And then The day after Israel makes a deal, there is another suicide bombing anyway, because A, in the Muslim world, making a deal is considered a form of weakness to be exploited, and B, the Palestinians do not recognize Israel's right to exist. Neither do most of Israel's neighbor nations. Understand? The Palestinians have no intention of ever sharing the land.
When Bob Siegel says that the Palestinians are unwilling to share the land with Israel, he doesn't mean to imply that they aren't willing to share any of the land.
Thank you, Dan. We always appreciate the special assistance of Disclaimer Dan.
Actually, the Palestinians only want the surface of the land. They are happy to bury just as many Jews as possible beneath the surface.
No concession from Israel. And there have been far too many to count. No concession will ever make any difference to the Palestinians. If Obama does not know this, he is too naive to be giving Israel orders about treaties. If Obama does know this, then he is just downright evil. While we're on the subject, allow me to correct the myth about Israel's illegal occupation. In the year 1967, 9 different nations, Egypt, Jordan, Syria, Lebanon, Algeria, Kuwait, Sudan, Saudi Arabia, and Iraq, all declared war on Israel and promised to exterminate every Jew. I'm reading from Radio Cairo, May 17, 1967. Egypt is ready to plunge into a total war that will be the end of Israel. Well, surprising the world with a preemptive strike, Israel defeated the Arabs in just 6 days. At that time, their territory was expanded to the West Bank, the Golan Heights, the Gaza Strip, and the Sinai. They did not occupy the country of Palestine because there never has been a country called Palestine. They occupied parts of Jordan, Syria, and Egypt. This territory is frequently referred to as part of Israel's illegal occupation. I tend to hate that term, and I argue against it for the following reasons. First, when we think of occupying countries, what usually comes to mind is an aggressive empire seeking to conquer and expand, not a tiny little nation that expanded its borders only as a means of survival to prevent her untrustworthy neighbors from attacking again. Second, most of the land had been legally offered to Israel in the Balfour Declaration anyway, before Great Britain sold it behind Israel's back. Three, historically, the land had been the home of the Jews for literally thousands of years. Four, the United Nations has become so corrupt, I no longer accept their standard as to what is legal or illegal. True or false, the PLO, Palestinian Liberation Organization, was created only to take back what Israel stole, not to annihilate Israel. False, McFly. First of all, the PLO was created not by a Palestinian, but by Egyptian President Nasser, who shamelessly admitted that its goal was the liquidation of Israel, no less. The PLO was founded in 1964. Israel's occupation, quote unquote, followed the Six-Day War in 1967. You can do the math, can't you? Of course, the most well-known name in association with the PLO is Yasser Arafat. He was not a Palestinian either. Arafat was born in Cairo in 1929. His grandfather was cousin of the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, friend of Adolf Hitler and Nazi operator during World War II. Concerning the Jews, Arafat said, "Surely the judgment of Allah is reserved for them until Palestine is transformed from the house of war to the house of Islam." Arafat and his friends basically created modern-day terrorism as we know it. In 1951, Arafat joined the Muslim Brotherhood, which later assassinated Anwar Sadat for signing a peace treaty with Israel. In 1957, after the Muslim Brotherhood was outlawed, Arafat fled Egypt and made his way to Kuwait in order to avoid arrest. In 1969, Arafat became chairman of the PLO Fatah and other PLO splinter groups that executed hundreds of attacks around the world. Now, if you feel you just received an education, know that today's universities do not offer such an education. Instead, they offer lies, doctrine, and propaganda. Neither has our president been properly educated unless, again, he does know this stuff and is acting out of downright evil motives toward Israel. I would prefer to give him the benefit of the doubt and stick with the ignorance theory. Either way, he is not qualified to be leading America, let alone the world. And why do our universities not know better? Why do they allow people from Saudi Arabia to rewrite their history books, lying about how the Jews have no historical claim to the land? how supposedly an indigenous people called the Palestinians lived there for thousands of years before the Jews just came and threw them out? Why do our universities not understand that Arabs did not occupy the Holy Land until after Muhammad, after Muslim expansion? Why? Because when people stop believing in God, they'll start believing in anything. As you know, I'm not one to predict the second coming of Christ that will eventually rescue Israel and the entire world. Jesus himself said no one knows the day or the hour. But at times, it's good to know that Christ is at least coming someday, at some hour. And that will be the end of the lies, and that will be the end of the hypocrisy, and that will be the end of the indoctrination, and that will be the end of vilifying a person simply because they do not agree with the direction of our government.
Alas, alas, for you lawyers and Pharisees, hypocrites that you be. Searching for souls and fools to forsake them, you travel the land, you scour the sea. After you've got your converts, you make them twice as fit for hell as you are yourselves. Alas, alas, for you lawyers and Pharisees, hypocrites that you are. Sure that the kingdom of heaven awaits you, you will not venture half so far. Other men who might enter the gates, you keep from passing through. Drag them down with you, you snakes, you vipers, brood. You cannot escape being devil's food. I send you prophets and I send you preachers, sages and rages and ages of teachers. Nothing can mar your mood. Alas, alas, for you lawyers and Pharisees, hypocrites to a man. Sons of the dogs who murdered the prophets, finishing off what your fathers began. You don't have time to scorn and to scoff, it's getting very late. Vengeance doesn't wait. You snakes, you vipers, brood. You cannot escape being devil's food. I send you prophets and I send you preachers, sages and rages and ages of teachers. Nothing can mar your mood.
Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480-539. W&S Electric. Welcome back to Intelligent Talk 1170 KCBQ. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. If you'd like to weigh in on any of this, call in toll-free numbers 1-888-344-1170. In keeping with his desire to become the next Neville Chamberlain, President Obama decided to withdraw our missile shield from Poland and Czechoslovakia. During his campaign, Obama talked much about repairing America's damaged reputation around the world. He kept this promise, apologizing for America at every opportunity. Frankly, I never really cared much what countries like Syria or Russia thought of America. Neither was I losing sleep when brave, strong-spined France criticized us for invading Iraq without UN approval, while they were making under-the-table deals with Saddam Hussein buying oil in violation of UN resolutions they themselves signed on for. But Eastern Europe was a whole different story from Western Europe. Unlike their Western brothers, who never had a chance to experience the Disneyland-type bliss of Soviet Union domination, the Eastern Bloc countries had not forgotten what evil was. They loved George Bush, and they loved it when George Bush was willing to use the word evil. Poland and Czechoslovakia did not resemble the spoiled, ungrateful, memory-challenged countries of the West which owed their lives to America for liberation during World War II. Neither did the Eastern Bloc have America listed as one of the most dangerous countries of the world. Instead, they cherished America and comprehended what America stood for. Poland and Czechoslovakia were truly our friends, and we sold them up the river. Now, they are so disgusted, they would not even accept Hillary Clinton's phone call, which presumably was going to explain how everything is really all right. It's all right. We can see where it may not look that way. Sure, things will be fine. I'm confident that if Russia invades Poland, Obama will give a speech calling for restraint on both sides. In the past, the American president was viewed as the leader of the free world. Under Obama, it's just leader of the world. All that talk about freedom doesn't seem important anymore. Once again, Obama gave a speech to those nations who evidently behave better than us. Once again, he went out of his way to remind people that he is not George Bush. Once again, he apologized for America. When it comes to the United States, Obama seems to be very good at apologizing. But when it comes to anything he should take personal responsibility for, an apology is the farthest thing from his mind. What about the corrupt ACORN? Obama says he didn't even know his stimulus package was funding this organization to the tune of some $4 billion, and he has little to say about how he promised ACORN that they would be a strong part of his administration. Neither has Obama apologized for using the word liar to describe those who challenge certain distributions of funds under his proposed health care plan. But he was willing to accept Joe Wilson's apology for calling him a liar. And he hasn't apologized for attending a racist church for 20 years. And he hasn't apologized for selling Poland up the river. And he hasn't apologized for being friends with terrorist Bill Ayers. And he hasn't apologized for hiring communist Van Jones. And he hasn't apologized for those other leftist czars who want to force abortion and force Sharia law. And he hasn't apologized for voting in favor of infanticide. And he hasn't apologized for lying about his vote for infanticide. But man, oh man, when it comes to apologizing on behalf of America to nations like Libya, Syria, and Russia, this guy is good. A real, true penitent. On the subject of apology, as conservatives, it is important to be consistent in the midst of these precarious times. I hate it when speakers get shouted down on college campuses for not being politically correct, and I find the deliberate interruption of any speaker at any meeting to be the worst form of rudeness. For that reason, I believe that when Representative Joe Wilson shouted out the phrase, "That's a lie," his outburst was uncalled for. I'm glad he apologized to the president, and I'm happy the president was gracious enough to accept his apology. Having said that, I've thought long and hard about this. What possible reason did Nancy Pelosi have for asking Wilson to apologize again, this time before the House of Representatives? The only man Wilson owed an apology to received his apology. That ends the matter, unless people are interested in grandstanding for the purpose of gaining political points. And who has demanded that Nancy Pelosi apologize for calling the CIA liars? And when asked in a television interview if he wanted to apologize for calling George Bush a liar, Harry Reid refused to retract his statement. Now, granted, such comments did not come in the middle of a speech, but then the Democratic Congress did boo George Bush while he was giving a State of the Union message. Oh, well, it's not like our mainstream media will ever call upon Democrats to be consistent. Democrats never apologize, and Democrats are never partisan, and Democrats are never mean-spirited, and Democrats are never insulting. Democrats, after all, are just Democrats. Oh, by the way, even though I disagree with the time and place of Joe Wilson's accusations, the words themselves were correct. President Obama was lying when he claimed that nationalized health care would not be granted to illegal aliens. In fact, he lied through his teeth. Another reminder, Wilson was responding to Obama using the word liar for anyone who claimed that his health care would fund abortion and fund illegals. Wilson was not proactively bringing up the issue of lying. He was instead defending himself and others from the accusation of a lie. In that speech before Congress and before the nation, President Obama very predictably said that the opponents of his health care proposal have been using scare tactics and spreading lies. Now, first of all, that is simply not true. The three lies in question were death panels, public funding of abortion, and health care for illegal aliens. Let's address them one at a time. First, the death panels. No, the term death panel is not found in the bill. Not the term, but extra funding for doctors to have life decision conversations with the elderly is in there. Why? Also, remember the stimulus bill, that other big fat pile of paper that none of the congressmen read? It called for government oversight of medical treatment decisions based upon age, eating habits of the patient, etc. This raised a lot of questions, and it is unclear whether or not the humble little clause was ever removed, but it certainly said something about the sentiment of death panels in Washington. And then there's the fact that every single country currently on government health care does rationing due to the cost and has an abundance of horror stories, people who are insured but denied treatment anyway. Are you catching on? We do not need to see the phrase death panel to know that this is exactly what would rear its ugly head if we turn to 100% government-sponsored health care. We'll be right back.
How many times have you heard the phrase, "they're all the same," applied to local contractors? It is unfortunate that a few can tarnish the reputations of many, but it sure is nice when you find a contractor with godly principles. But what if they only do floors or only the painting? What if you want to build a whole new home? Or you want someone to fully complete your remodel or tenant improvements? You need ProBuilt. Serving San Diego since 1987, residential and commercial, quality work completed on time. Local Christian businessman and president of ProBuilt, Jim Bell, said, "When people pay you to do a job, they simply want you to do the job. They expect quality work, and they expect it to be done on time. We do that at ProBuilt." For references and dozens of pictures of both residential and commercial work, visit our website, ProBuiltInc.com. That's ProBuiltInc.com. Or call our El Cajon office at 619-593-2965. We're fully bonded and insured. California State License Number 567925. ProBuilt.
I'd like to remind all of my listeners that the Bob Siegel Show has a sister program on our sister station, KPRZ 1210 on the dial. Every Sunday morning from 9 o'clock to 9:30, you can hear City Voice. On this provocative program, my good friend George Runyon interviews a different local Christian ministry every week. You can listen to the show while driving to church, and don't be surprised, you may find it so interesting that you'll stay in the parking lot continuing to listen and skipping those Sunday school donuts. That's City Voice with George Runyon, every Sunday morning from 9 o'clock to 9:30 on our sister station, KPRZ 1210. But right now, you're listening to KCBQ 1170. Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. Joe Wilson apologized to the president for calling him a liar, but what he was really doing was calling the president a liar for saying that those who oppose his health care were liars. Obama called liar anybody who said that his health care was going to fund abortion, anyone who said his health care was going to fund illegals, anyone who talked about death panels. Well, I already showed you how those death panels are in there, even though they don't use the term death panel. What about abortion? Republicans tried to add a provision to the bill that would forbid public health assurance covering abortion. Democrats voted it down. Now, this was before Obama gave his little speech. Now, if Obama is determined to buck his Democratic Congress and allow that provision, fine. In the meantime, he should stop calling people liars. He only makes himself out to be a liar by doing so. And then again, the illegal aliens, as with abortion, Republicans tried to add a provision to the bill that would forbid public health insurance for illegal aliens. Democrats, big surprise, voted it down. This should end the discussion, but I'll offer more anyway. For one thing, illegals already get free health care at our emergency rooms. Also, the 47 million uncovered Americans that Obama always talked about included illegals. Only recently, that figure was suddenly changed to 30 million after he was called to the carpet. However, if Obama plans to grant amnesty, and he's given every indication of doing so, then the whole topic becomes a moot point anyway. While we're on the subject of lies, how come Obama, in his heartfelt zeal to bring both Republicans and Democrats together, didn't rebuke any lies from the left, lies such as Representative Diane Watson's? She says the only reason people object to Obama's health care is because they do not want to support a black president. Hungry for some pea soup about now? Well, something thicker than pea soup is in the room. Hypocrisy. All right, at the top of the hour, I promised that I would tell you a story about my encounter with angels. Far be it from me to not keep my promises. I was driving from Tempe, Arizona to San Jose, California, about a 16-hour drive, as I recall. And I drove through the night because my little Volkswagen Bug had no air conditioning. And in early summer, you do not want to drive through Arizona without air conditioning in the daytime. Of course, I could have stopped and stayed in a motel or at least pulled into a rest stop instead of flirting with death and taking the entire 16 hours in one big chunk. But I was in my 20s, and I was healthy, and I was daring, and I was a marathon man, and I was a complete idiot who did not deserve the extra grace God was about to bestow upon me. Around dawn, while driving along the coast of Santa Barbara, I fell asleep at the wheel and later woke up still driving, still free of any road accident or danger. Now, I'm not sure how long I was asleep, but I distinctly remember waking up at the wheel. And still somewhat punch drunk, I continued driving until I reached San Jose. The next day, after getting my much-needed rest, I remembered something that had slipped my mind in the middle of all the madness and fatigue. Now, all of us have had the experience of lying in bed, starting to doze off, and then waking back up for a moment or two. We hear voices and suddenly realize that they were voices from a dream because for a moment we had started to drift off. Such voices came into my head on the road, but the magnitude of the experience was lost on me at the time because I was sleepy and not thinking right. Later on, however, I remembered the voices distinctly. Do you think we can keep him awake? Don't worry, we'll keep him awake. In the first chapter of Hebrews, the Bible promises Christians that they indeed have guardian angels looking out for them. I am convinced I met my own guardian angels for the very first time that day. But when I say it was the first time I met them, I do not mean to imply that this was the first time they got me out of trouble. That, I am sure, is an experience they have been familiar with for many, many years. 1-888-344-1170. Or you can reach us over the internet, questions@bobsiegel.net. That's questions@bobsiegel.net. Patty in Broomfield, Colorado writes, just a quick note to tell you how much I enjoy your blogs and resonate with everything you say. God bless. Well, thank you, Patty. Regarding Democrats and their lies, this is from Bob Price in Northern Carolina, North Carolina. Let me remind you who Bob Price is. He participated in the Jesus Seminar. I debated him at Foothills Church here in San Diego and debated him over the air. And even though we don't agree with one word about God or Christianity, the man's an atheist, we actually became the best of friends after debating, even to the point where I wrote a little blurb for his book. Not that I agreed with his book, but it was one of those blurbs that says, hey, it's always good to hear both sides. I respect Bob Price as a thinker. Well, anyway, even though we don't agree on God, we are totally on the same page as far as politics is concerned, which just goes to show that you can get along with people even if you don't agree with everything. So he's responding to my blog about the Democrats and their lies. And he says, another great zinger. I'd love to know where all these good people now protesting Obama's crazy proposals were last election day. None of this should come as any surprise, though it does turn out William Ayers was only the tip of the iceberg. And when you add in the shameless manipulation of the press and the political system by the Dems, I will confess it begins to make me question my faith in democracy. We are not playing the same game as the PC stormtroopers. No wonder we are losing. Nor do I want to play their game. I only hope it does not take another 9/11 for which Obama has rendered us unprepared for things to turn around. We will return in just a moment.
Thank you.
This is Bob Siegel inviting you to tune in for the Rick Amato Show 4 nights a week here on 1170 KCBQ. Rick stays on top of the issues local and national. He also does some of the most stimulating interviews you've ever heard. That's the Rick Amato Show, Monday through Thursdays from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. here on Intelligent Talk 1170 KCBQ. You can also find Rick on AmatoTalk.com.
Now return to the Bob Siegel Show.
We're going through some of your emails. This next one is from Mark in El Cajon. He says, I'm going to do what Rush Limbaugh does, and that is to be absurd, to illustrate the absurdity of this white painting of roofs business. How about a new program called Cash for Clunker Paint Cans? Bear with me on this. Oh, blah, blah. Mark likes to call Obama oh, blah, blah. Oh, blah, blah goes on TV and announces that there is an unending amount of used paint cans filling up our dump sites that is causing irreparable damage to our environment. So for every used paint can brought in, a $500 voucher will be issued. Let's say that the typical roof would cost $2,000 to paint white. So with that in mind, only 4 used paint cans would be necessary for the homeowner or building owner to get the required vouchers. So then a painting contractor is hired, and of course this will increase employment as there are so many roofs to paint and lots of painting employees will be needed. The painting contractor would do the work, then be given the vouchers, which he would then mail or fax to a new government bureaucracy that just had to be created to handle all the payment vouchers coming in. More employment, as the new federal agency would need lots of employees to shuffle paperwork around, mainly minorities, of course, as they have taken on the chin in this recession caused by Bush 43. Oh, blah, blah, will also point out that he's making sure this time around that payments back to the contractors will be expedited as he remembers how the auto dealers suffered. But what a success the Cash for Clunkers program was. However, it is in the best interest of contractors in the country as a whole to sacrifice for the common collective good of society. We're all in this heroic struggle together to fight climate change and rid our filling up dump sites of ugly paint cans. Sincerely, Mark. Well, you succeeded, Mark, in making your point very similar to the way Rush Limbaugh would. Regarding my suggestion that the government is racist for wanting to paint all rooftops white, Patty in Italy writes, laughing out loud. I just have a simple question, even though some will call me a lover of the rich and hater of the poor for daring to even ask the question. If, as Obama promises, the government is not trying to completely take over healthcare the way those nasty conservatives suggest in their fear-mongering, and if instead the government will only offer a public option as a means to an end, that end being that everybody can have affordable healthcare of some sort, and if private insurance companies are no longer going to be allowed to refuse people or drop people due to preconditions or any condition, and if by law they must also be affordable, and if by law all employers are going to be required to provide health care or pay a fee, and if the government option, just like any other option, is going to cost money either through a premium or a tax, then why is the government option even needed? Inquiring minds want to know. But Obama is hoping there will be no inquiring minds. Now, I made this next commentary back in 2008 before the election, but it fell upon deaf ears. Since many who voted for Obama are now waking up, expressing regrets, paying attention to what the man actually stands for, and raising their eyebrows at his associates and czars, I'm going to share this again. Who knows? Some who wouldn't listen before might be motivated to listen now. Almost a year ago, Bill O'Reilly had his one interview with then-candidate Barack Obama. He asked the senator if he had ever heard Reverend Wright preach a hatred of white people in the 20 years he attended Trinity United Church. Obama responded as follows, "No, I did hear him preach a hatred of racists, however." Now, it was such an ingenious response that O'Reilly, who's usually quite savvy, didn't catch it. I caught it. I believe this answer was a downright lie disguised in a coating of truth. Yes, it's true. obviously, that Reverend Wright has a history of preaching against racists. What Obama failed to confess is the way racism is defined by today's militant civil rights activists. They hold two ridiculous but seldom challenged tenets. Tenet one, only white people are racist. People of color are never racist because people of color do not have the power. It's a new definition that they just made up, but people are rolling over and playing dead for it. And tenet two, all white people are racist. And so, my friends, if Reverend Wright preached a hatred of racists, and if only white people can be racist, and if indeed all white people are racist, Reverend Wright absolutely preached a hatred of white people. If Obama didn't pick that up, he knows nothing about the activists and community organizers he hangs around with. And it's hard to believe they would be gathering around him if he did not share these beliefs, or at least some form of the beliefs. At the very least, close associates would go out of their way to make very sure Obama knew exactly where they were coming from. Anything is possible, but one has to virtually turn logic on its head and suspend all true thinking to believe that a Harvard graduate, smart enough to become president, could be that naive or that out of step with the thoughts and ideologies of his friends. Instead, I am convinced that Obama was being slick and deceptive. This was my suspicion a year ago, and there seems to be nothing but it's bearing out historically to make the understatement of the century. Well, as expected, a few weeks ago, Green Czar Van Jones resigned, but not before accusing right-wingers of a smear campaign. What smear campaign? All we did was listen to his speeches and show others where they could listen to his speeches. Some of his horrible words he even apologized for. So which is it? Did he say things he honestly regrets? Or is he a victim of some planned conspiracy? Howard Dean continues to defend this man who signed a statement about a Bush 9/11 conspiracy, who openly admitted to being a communist, and who accused white people of poisoning the drinking water of black people. How does Dean continue to offer support? By going through the issues point by point and addressing them? Not at all. Instead, Dean reminds us that Van Jones is a Yale graduate who has written a book. Given the age we live in and the leftist, politically correct atmosphere of our colleges, the fact that somebody is a college graduate who writes provides zero evidence of a moral compass. It reminds me of the way people defended Ahmadinejad after the tyrant spoke at Columbia. They said, well, the man is well-educated, and he has a family. He also smiles a lot. See how it works? Say any poisonous, racist, inflammatory thing you want. Just make sure you smile while you blast it all out and be at a university while you're speaking. For myself, I'd be quite content with a man who never smiles, has no family, has written no book, and graduated no college. None of that would matter if the guy at least had brains and a heart. Indeed, maybe that isn't even needed. Remember when Dorothy asked the Scarecrow how he could talk if he didn't have a brain? The Scarecrow replied, I don't know, but some people without brains do an awful lot of talking. You can hear the Bob Siegel Show every Saturday from 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock. We also do a repeat broadcast Saturday nights from 11 o'clock to midnight. And I do a daily blog if you're just suffering withdrawals and you can't bear to wait through the week. Every single day on townhall.com, bobsiegel.townhall.com. I'm listed on Town Hall as a political satirist and as a Christian apologist. My blogs alternate between the two. If you would like to get on my mailing list, send me a letter, questions@bobsiegel.net, questions@bobsiegel.net. Doesn't cost anything to be on the mailing list, to subscribe to my blog, and I'll just send you a link to my latest blog every day. I'm happy to say that I am the number one blog in San Diego on the KCBQ local town hall website. And nationally, for the last 2 years, I've been on and off, mostly on the high majority of the time, the top 10 list nationally. So I'm absolutely delighted that so many people are reading my blog. And a lot of people are reading my website too, although a lot of people from Washington, D.C. have been reading my website for the last 5 or 6 months. I have to admit, that makes me just a little bit nervous. Hopefully it's conservatives in Washington, D.C. who are enjoying it. But you never know. It could be somebody who's keeping an eye on me. I was on the Rick Amata Show this Tuesday night. And you may recall that while I was on his program, We were talking a little bit about what was going on, and I mentioned that if we have another terrorist attack, and you all know me, I'm not into conspiracy theories, not at all, but I mentioned that if we had another terrorist attack, rather than Obama coming out and admitting that his lame foreign policy could have anything to do with it, since Obama never admits anything, I believe that they might try to pin it on conservatives. Conservatives seem to be the people that they're worried about. The FBI has spied on people at the tea parties, and they've got this weird weapon that sends out vibrations to the eardrums that they did even here in San Diego and at some of these local town hall meetings. So when you look at who Obama's concerned about, the real terrorists don't seem to concern him. On the terrorism list, our Homeland Security expert even listed people concerned about borders, the military, Christians, it's people concerned about abortion. It's maddening, but not so maddening that they'll keep me away from the microphone. I will see you next week.
Thank you for listening to The Bob Siegel Show. The views and opinions are solely those of the host and guests and do not necessarily represent KCBQ or its sponsors. The Bob Siegel Show was brought to you in part by the Law Office of Thomas Pinkerton, helping infertile families have children. Tom Pinkerton would like to invite you to help Bob expand his radio program by donations or sponsorship. For more information about Bob's ministry, go to www.bobsiegel.net. Here, you can read Bob's articles and get information about Bob's books. That's Bob Siegel, SIEGEL.net.